Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. This is a podcast created for the love of food and meant to support you on a journey to making more vegan choices, no matter where you are along the way. I'm your host, Kim Sujavolsky. I'm a teacher, a certified plant-based cook, and for years, I've been helping people go vegan or take more steps in that direction by teaching you how to cook delicious vegan meals, get back in the kitchen, and improve your relationship with food. So are you ready? Lace up those trainers if you're going for a walk, or grab a cup of coffee, get comfy on the couch, and listen in. Hey there, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I am very excited today. I don't know if you're listening to me and you feel that there's something strange or different or better, and it's because I have a brand new mic for recording the podcast, and it's a thing of beauty. I'm looking at it right now. It's the cutest little thing ever. I think we have to give it a name because it's just becoming a part of the team already. And also, for the very first time recording this podcast, I have a buddy right next to me. I have my very own sound engineer, and you know who that is. That is Carlos, my husband and Brown Bowl's co-creator. He is awesome because he knows all about this techie stuff that I have no idea how to do, and he's the one that edits these podcast episodes. And now we've got all this brand new equipment, and the podcast is about to get so much better. And he's right next to me. It's very strange to record with somebody next to me. I've never done that before. But it's fun. He has so much experience with sound editing and recording. He actually has a few albums out with his different bands. He's been in different bands along the years that I've known him. So we're in good hands, I think. So let me know how this sounds. Of course, we're getting kind of used to our new mic. I hope everything sounds great. And if there's anything, any kinks that need to be worked out, they'll be worked out by the next episode. So today we have a very fun episode for you. It's all about fun. It's about fun food and making food fun again. How cool is that, right? And we're gonna get started right now. But before we begin today's show, I want to tell you about a resource I think you'll really love. And I'm talking, of course, about our signature online program, My Brown Bowl. It's what I like to call our big kahuna. It's an ongoing program, all in video format, in which I teach you to cook delicious vegan meals, get organized, give you support on your vegan journey, as well as tools to help you find a blissful and balanced place with food and with eating. And most of all, we cook, and we cook, and we cook in a way that is simple, teaching you why things are done in the kitchen so that you can become a total pro, creating vegan meals that everybody goes nutty over. There's so much more that is included in the program, so head on over and visit mybrownbowl.com to learn all the details and to give it a try. So head on over to www.mybrownbowl.com. Now, on with the show. So this episode is all about the fun factor. Now, 2 weeks ago, we published a podcast episode on umami, or what I like to call the yum factor. Now, you can go check that out if you want to hear all about it. I give you lots of delicious meal ideas there. But this had to do with the adding of ingredients with certain flavor profiles that can completely elevate the kind of yumminess and heartiness of a dish to new heights. And this was, you know, one of my tips for adding that yum. But today, however, we're talking about another little factor that can really make a difference in your eating and your cooking, and especially in your enjoyment of food. Nowadays, there's no lack of posts and articles that all seem to focus on the kind of nitty-gritty details of what you should and you shouldn't eat on a vegan diet, and what I like to call sub-vegan diets. And there's an intense focus on superfoods and nutrient-boosting powders, etc. And food, at least online, it's becoming more of a science experiment than the beautiful art form that it is. And since I'm all about going back to basics in the kitchen, I think we need to talk about the love of food and being able to find joy in the process of cooking and of eating again. Doesn't that sound better? Doesn't that sound good? Hence the fun factor. So this is where the fun factor comes in, and that's the topic of today's episode. Now, of course, don't get me wrong, nutrition is important, and by eating a plant-based diet, you're doing so much for your health and well-being. Don't even get me started on that of the planet and the animals, you know. But we have, however, at least in recent years, we've lost touch with the joy of cooking and the pleasure of eating. And I think it's kind of inevitable coming from a moment in time in which popular blog posts or news articles and even news programs on TV, they're promoting these headlines. Like, for example, the three foods you have to stop eating now to start losing weight. Or another typical one, the one food you're not eating that can save you from having cancer. So we talked about these types of headlines, and you know what headlines these are. If you've spent any time on Facebook, you've seen these, right? Especially recently. We talked about these types of headlines in last week's episode, which was all about finding your food stories. If you haven't listened in, it's one of my favorites. And I share lots of personal stories there, but it's all with a purpose, I promise. And, you know, it's just no wonder that many of us have become so afraid of food, right? This is so common now. Our time in the kitchen and the moment we fill our plates with food is now slightly kind of haunted by all of these voices of doubt. I call this the voices of doubt as to whether or not we should add this to our meal or that to our meal, or if this is too much, or if we need to remove something, and at what times. So I don't know, where did the joy of cooking go, right? Where did the joy of cooking go? Where did the fun and pleasure of eating go? We can certainly bring it back, and that's part of my mission at Brownbowl. And we can, of course, have all of this as vegans and with vegan food. Now, I want you to think about the foods that you used to love when you were a kid. Seriously, I want you to think about them for a moment. So take a moment and think about when you were a kid. What did you love? You know, were they burgers, fries, fried chicken, PB&J sandwiches, mac and cheese, ice cream? What was it? Where did your parents serve them, right? When you got these treats and these delicious meals, where did your parents serve them? What was your favorite restaurant and how did they serve your favorite dishes there? Did you dip or did you dunk or did you spread? And you know how much I love going to the past for these little eating cues. And today, we're going back on a fun food hunt, and it's going to be amazing. Now, for me, there are many things that symbolize fun at the table, and there are different categories of fun food. Now, some have to do with where you eat, some have to do with where the dish is served, some have to do with the actual dish itself, and some have to do with the mechanics of eating, aka the utensils, or using your hands, or dipping, or dunking, or having a sauce to pour on top. So here are some of the silly little things that make me love and enjoy my meals and the little fun factors that make me feel a meal is totally scrumptious and special. And this was the case when I was a kid and it is still the case now. That's why I tell you that you have to go back to the past to find these because they're probably still in there and they're probably still your favorites. So for example, one for me, eating on a table lower to the ground, Japanese style, and sitting on the floor. That's awesome. It adds such an element of fun. Another one of my favorites, eating with my hands. So I want you to think burgers and pizza and sandwiches. Also, another one, having something to dip and something to dip it into and having a picnic style meal, even if it's indoors and even if it's on a table, but with lots of small little dishes that I can mix and match and play around with. Another one is, for example, using chopsticks. I love using chopsticks. Or having to build a dish on the table. Or another one, having an unusual dish or platter on which the food is served. So the dish itself, I'm talking about the serving platters or, you know, the place where you're going to actually put the food on. So to this day, when I go to a diner, this is a big one for me. When I go to a diner and I have a veggie burger, and they bring a bottle of mustard and a bottle of ketchup just for us, and they plop it in the center of the table, I get the biggest sense of giddy excitement since this is what I saw in the diners that I ate at growing up as a kid. So do you see all these little examples? They all come from different areas. Some have to do with objects. Some have to do with the food itself. Some have to do with the way you eat the food. But they all bring fun. You get the idea, right? Fun can come from eating delicious dishes and ingredients, but it can also come from how and where you eat. That means you can infuse that fun factor to anything from the most scrumptious burger to a salad, or a simple soup. So that's the idea behind today's episode. Now, here are some ideas of fun factors that you can start thinking of when you cook at home. And I've divided them into little categories. All right, so the first category is timeless fun food, just because. And you know what that is, right? The delicious comfort foods that we know and we love. So this has to do with the food itself. So including these foods in your life because, you know, why? Because they're amazing. Burgers, pizza, mac and cheese, and lasagna, fries, cupcakes, grilled cheese sandwiches, pancakes, waffles. I mean, all of them can be made vegan with delicious natural ingredients. So you can include these in your life and just be happy because they're fun in and of themselves. Now, another category is where to have your fun food, right? So think picnic table at your local park or a blanket on the grass. That's even better. That's even more fun because it's even more unusual. Or you can have it in the floor of your living room. Yeah, you can put a blanket in the floor of your living room and have your picnic there. And yes, we have done this at our house, especially when we've been moving and there isn't any furniture in the new place yet. Yeah. So another one is, for example, a low coffee table and sitting on the floor Japanese style, like I mentioned before, or eating outside if you have a terrace or a balcony. This is where to have your fun food, and this adds even more fun. All right, next category is when to have your fun food. So here, enter the most fun invention when it comes to food, and that is breakfast for dinner. So mixing it up adds such an element of joy to meals. And for me, breakfast for dinner is the perfect example. So I'm talking hash browns, pancakes or French toast, some crispy tempeh bacon, all after sunset. Priceless, right? So you can also take it up a notch and try crazy surprising favorites for breakfast as well. So don't knock it till you try it, right? We tend to be very rigid when it comes to breakfast, and there's really no need. It can be as simple as a BLT sandwich for breakfast, or, you know, just looking at what you're craving in the morning, paying attention to what your body's telling you. What are you craving? I can't tell you how many times I've had toast with non-dairy butter and jam with a side of sautéed greens and shiitake mushrooms with tamari soy sauce. So you get the idea. You can do anything, right? Just mix it up. I always say that you are the boss when it comes to your plate in, you know, when you have a vegan diet. You can make that look however you like. And even if you're not fully vegan, that also applies. All right, so the next category is one of my favorites. And it's also one of my favorites because I love food photography. And this has so much to do with the way you plate your food. So this category is fun dishes, serving platters, utensils, and jazz hands. I'll explain what that means in a second. So where you eat your food can make such a difference in adding an element of fun. Now, I'm not talking about location, as I did in the previous category. I'm talking about the serving platters and the dishes and the bowls. So I'm going to give you some ideas of how to mix it up so that you can add some fun, okay? So for example, using small wooden cutting boards as dishes, especially for your vegan barbecues or for breakfasts or for burgers and sandwiches. They look so cute. Another example is using little baskets lined with parchment paper or, if you can find it, checkered paper. You know, that red and white checkered paper. It's so amazing if you can find that and use it at home. You know, we can do this stuff at home and make it fun at home. Or, for example, now it's very popular and very easy to find these little metal or mesh baskets for sides like chips or fries or raw vegetables if you're having some crudité with dip or something like that. Another beautiful, beautiful idea is to serve soups and stews in individual enameled cast iron or clay pots. And these aren't necessarily expensive. You have many brands available these days. And these are so cute. Each person gets like this little pot of soup, but it has a lid and everything. And it's so much fun. It makes it a lot more enjoyable. Another example or another idea is having different plates with different patterns. So, you know, these people who have different, not one set of plates that is the same all across the board, but different plates with different patterns on each. And you can have each person pick the one they want to eat from. And this is a trick that works like a charm for kids to help them get more interested in the meal that is coming. So this is a great way to help them eat better and eat healthier and eat more vegetables. They get to pick where they're going to eat their food. They love this. And this works with adults too. It makes everything more fun. All right, another one, drinking coffee or even serving soups or desserts or fruit salads in glass bowls or cups. So that means see-through, where you can see the contents of the food. Another one, using bowls instead of standard plates to mix things up a little bit, even if it's something that you would never eat in a bowl, right? Using chalkboard slates. These are so popular now. You can find these in any kitchen supply store or where they sell plates and, you know, cutlery and things like that. They're very popular and they're very inexpensive. These are like chalkboard slates where you could even write stuff on with chalk, but you use these as plates. They're this very dark color. They're amazing with food on top. Another great example, I love this one, and I think this comes from the love of Chinese food, but using cardboard boxes as plates. Now, I want you to think of the box, little box of donuts, or the kind you get at Whole Foods when you buy some of their ready-prepared dishes, ready-made dishes. And, you know, people can open these, you can set these up at, you know, at each place setting and have people open them up and discover their meal inside. And if you're going Asian, you can even find these little Asian style takeout boxes. And how cute is that? All right, another example is using mini cast iron pans as plates, especially for bubbly or sizzling dishes. For example, lasagna for the bubbly kind, or fajitas, right? You heat this really, really, you get this really hot in the oven and you bring your food. It's gonna help keep it warm too. And it looks amazing. And then now they sell these mini, mini pans and you can use them as plates. You just have to warn people that they can't touch them because they'll be very hot. And you also need to put, you know, heat protecting something underneath so your table doesn't get messed up. All right, using mason jars, and these can be large and also small, for desserts and puddings or breakfast porridges or layered salads. This is very in right now, right? Those layered salads in the mason jars, they look really pretty. Another idea is to use food as plates. For example, serving pumpkin soup inside a roasted pumpkin and putting that at the center of the table, or serving fruit salads inside a halved coconut and giving each person their little fruit salad, and then they get to eat the coconut that's underneath. Another idea is serving different components on different mini dishes on top of a plate. So let me give you a visual. You have a big plate and you have the different components of the meal in little tiny dishes, but on top of that first plate or on top of a cutting board, right? And people get to assemble and they get to play around with things and you feel that there are so many components to your meal. It's fun. Another one, buying a beautiful, beautiful big platter and setting it on the center of the table for people to serve themselves. So kind of Moroccan style or family style. A typical one, using chopsticks instead of forks and knives. And of course, I've left the best one for last, the joy of eating with your hands. And then you get to do those jazz hands when you finish because you're so happy. Now, our next category is family style and smorgasbord. Now, the idea behind this category is that you'll serve beautiful platters at the center of the table and have each person pick and choose what they'd like. And this always makes me remember Sunday lunch at my house growing up, and it makes me so happy. It's like instant fun. And also embrace the smorgasbord way of eating. I've talked about this way of eating before, and it's great if you're trying out a vegan diet for the first time. It's how I started kind of taking steps in that direction many moons ago. And it's about making different little dishes, even if they don't necessarily go together. And then you can assemble your plate with a bit of this and a bit of that and combining foods that you love. Like if you were eating at the prettiest buffet. My next category is to make people work for it. And this is also what I like to call audience participation. Now, don't worry, it's not as annoying as regular audience participation when somebody asks you to do that. This is great. So have people assemble their own dish with components they find at the table. That's what this one is all about. For example, having different herbs and nuts and seeds and toppings and sauces next to grain or bean dishes, and then have people create their own pilafs at the table. You can also serve a delicious soup and different toppings for the soup in small little bowls. So from crunchy chopped cucumber and bell peppers to croutons, to, for example, crispy onions and some non-dairy sour cream. Put all of those in little dishes and have people pile them on top of the soup. And it kind of gives people something to do and it makes the anticipation so much greater. And trust me, they will love the food even more. And another option, which is so great, is to have a burger buffet, right? You place buns and veggie burgers at the center of the table, surrounded by toppings and sauces, and you have each person make their own to their liking. And another option is to make our sticky toffee sweet potato cake. That recipe is in our YouTube channel and at brownbowl.com. And you can have all of your guests do the part that has to do with the stabbing of the cake. I know that you don't know what I'm talking about, but if you see the video, you'll understand. So this was a huge hit at a recent party we had at our house, and you'll see why when you watch the video. And I do it much more dramatically when I ask my guests to do it. So I do this whole thing, and they have to stab the cake, and they get really into it once they almost destroy the cake. But yeah, you get it, right? Get them participating, and the anticipation of the meal will be so much greater, and they'll even think that the food is might be better than it actually is. So if you're getting started with cooking, this will help you. This will help you a ton, even if you make mistakes. All right, another category that I have, which I know everybody can relate to, is dipping and dunking. So anything you can dip or dunk is so much fun, right? For example, you can make crispy eggplant wedges with breadcrumbs in the oven and then dip them in marinara sauce. You can make the traditional fries with ketchup or guacamole. If you haven't tried fries with guacamole, you're really missing out. I don't know why it isn't a thing yet, but it should be. You can make tofu nuggets with barbecue sauce. You can make tempura, vegetable tempura, and dip it in soy sauce. You can make vegan fondue. Hello, talk about dipping, right? It's the whole meal is about dipping. And this can go from cheese to chocolate. And yes, you can make both of those vegan. And yes, we're going to have a recipe for you soon. You can also serve crudités and dips or a Mexican layer dip and some corn tortillas. There's a recipe for the Mexican layer dip, an amazing one in our online program. So if you're a member, you can find it in our dip section. So you get the idea, right? Dipping, dunking. I bet you can think of some more ideas that you used to love when you were kids. All right, next category is condiments and sauces at the table, another one of my fun categories. So I want you to summon the diner server in you and place sauces and condiments at the center of the table for people to experiment with. So from bottles of mustard and ketchup, like I told you I loved, to, for example, relish and chopped onion and chips when you serve veggie hot dogs, to, for example, placing some gomashio. Gomashio is a delicious ground sesame seed and herb mix that you can find. You can make it, but you can also find it ready-made in health food stores. Sometimes they come with some seaweed flakes, and it's kind of a nutritional powerhouse, and it's fun to add a sprinkle on top of dishes. It's really savory and nice. And you can also add some sea salt, put on the table. Add some sea salt flakes on a bowl and put it on the table, some soy sauce or some truffle oil. You can include fresh herbs or crunchy toppings for people to pick and choose from. And you can also do this for yourself too if dining alone. Please don't think that this is only when you are preparing a meal for other people. You can do this occasionally for yourself too, right? Some of these are really easy. It's just about putting a bottle of something on top in front of you. All right, so last category, nothing beats handheld. I don't know what it is about my hands. I like to eat with my hands. You can guess that by now, right? So it's just the magic of this. I don't know why it gets you so close to the food. It's fun. It's messy. It's great. So nothing equals fun for me as much as eating with my hands. And I'm talking about burgers, hot dogs, pizza, lettuce cups, tacos, crackers, or toast with toppings. And you can even get Middle Eastern or Indian on your grub by eating delicious tagines or curries with the help of some pita bread or some garlic naan, for example, right? And, you know, veggie sushi hand rolls and summer rolls. These are also awesome. So are you having fun yet? I bet you can picture yourself having these foods and you get a smile in your face instantly, right? I just love the idea of thinking about this when I assemble my meals. And it may seem like extra effort, but once you get familiar with some options, you'll simply have them in the back of your mind. And you can start infusing some fun into your meals really, really effortlessly. That's what it's all about, right? everything is about practice in the kitchen. And then you just have these tools and these ideas in the back of your mind to use. Now, before I go, enjoying the food you eat and eating for pleasure. These are such essential components of having a balanced relationship with food. They help you focus on your meal. They help you get centered so that you can eat more mindfully and slowly and be able to listen to your hunger and fullness cues, which is just the basic starting point to improving your relationship with food. So yeah, fun. It rocks, and it ain't just for kids. Thanks for listening in today. That was so much fun. Now, if you'd like to support this podcast, I'd be so grateful if you could subscribe and also leave us an awesome rating and review on iTunes. This really helps us rank higher in searches, and it helps other people who need this information find us. Now, to leave us a rating and review, all you have to do this on your phone is open your podcast app, then click the search icon, type in Brownbowl and go to our podcast, and then you click on the reviews tab and click write a review, and then you leave us your review. Pretty simple, right? Now, you can't do it from your own subscription feed to the podcast. I'm not sure why. So you have to do it from the search. Now, if you want to do it on your computer, open your iTunes, type in Brownbowl in the search bar, go to ratings and reviews, and leave it there. I will be so grateful if you can take the time to do this, since we really want to support others on their journey. This content is completely free, so all we need is to reach other people who are looking for this information, looking for support, and we need your help to do it. So thank you so much for listening today, and as usual, I will see you next week with more on Thursday. That's our little date. Bye-bye.